Lost my bulletin here, sorry about that. Like the first lesson is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here ends the first lesson. The psalm today is 119, and it's verses 1 to 8. And I'll read the odds, if y'all can read the evens, please. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. The second lesson today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Here ends the second lesson.
Chapter of Matthew, would you please stand? You have heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary, who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. Better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, you do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? Amen. Back in the early 1980s, I went to, I lived in Arizona, and so we had to go to the Pacific Southwest Synod Assembly, which we had to go to Los Angeles every year to be part of that. And I remember I went to one of these Synod Assemblies, and while I was there, when I walked in the door of the hotel, when you went to check in, there were all these people from the Synod Council. And they all had these little things stuck on their shoulder. And as I happened to be standing in line, somebody came up, I think it was one of them, and they put one of these things on me. Now, those of you who know me can kind of figure out how I love this warm, fuzzy sitting on my shoulder. But, you know, the object was that they wanted us to be warm fuzzies rather than cold pricklies. And that if we passed out enough warm fuzzies in the world, it would indeed be a much, better place. Well, I think one of the things that that we've done with Jesus over the years is that we've tried to make Jesus into a warm fuzzy. That somehow, if we believe in God, we'll feel nice and warm and life will be good. And even people outside the church think that way. That if you believe in God, your life should be good. There should be no more problems. There shouldn't be anything that ever happens bad. And that God's people should be kind of like warm and fuzzy too, which I know all of you are. But here's my suggestion. If you want something warm and fuzzy, go to Toys R Us and buy yourself a big teddy bear and hang on to it. Because Jesus is not warm fuzzy. He just isn't. And while he indeed You know, it's kind of been one of those days today. You know, you push the off button. Yeah. Right now I'm thinking cold and prickly, I'll tell you. Wow. What a day. Here we go. Anyway. Whoa. While Jesus is indeed very loving and kind and forgiving, and he provides us with hope in our lives, he can indeed bring us peace in times of chaos and those times when we're not feeling well. That's not what Jesus was about. That is not the total thing that he came to do. Jesus came to show us a different way of life, a new way of life. He came literally to take the world as we know it, to take the way that things were going in the world at that particular point in time and even now, and to turn them upside down and on their ear. And we can see that really well in this Sermon on the Mount. If we go back to those first 12 verses of that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out what this new life, he calls it the kingdom of God, we can also call it God's world, is all about. He shows us what this new world is about. And then he talks about what the people that inhabit this world are to be like. And we're supposed to be. I could give you a test from last week, but I won't. Okay? We're called to be salt, and we're called to be light. And as salt, we're called to add flavor, zest to the world in which we live. We are called to purify the world. In other words, we are called to use good speech. We're called to care about one another. We are called to care about how people are treated. We are called to preserve the world in which we live, to preserve people's dignity, their rights, to take care of the world that God has given us. We are called to be light in a world that's often dark, so that by the things that we say and the things that we do, people can see God's presence in the world and that they'll go toward him rather than away from him. And then after he says that, Jesus makes this next statement. He says, you are to be more righteous than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now, I don't know. I think a lot of times there's a lot of things in the Bible we kind of skim over. I think that's one of those phrases we kind of just slip by. But when you think about it, if you were back there in Jesus' time, the people were in shock. I mean, their jaws dropped down to their knees. Because basically what Jesus was saying is this: you are to be more righteous than if you were to take like the professional football players, the professional baseball players, the professional basketball players, the Olympic gold medalists, you are to be better than them when it comes to religion. You're to be because they were the professional religious people, the Pharisees. You're to be better than the professionals. That's kind of striking, isn't it? And people are probably wondering, how in the world are we supposed to do that? And it's not, the question isn't asked, but you can kind of hear it murmured in these verses. And Jesus said, well, let me give you an example. All right? You have heard it said, you shall not murder. Now, if I were to say that here, everybody would probably go, whew, because that doesn't apply to you, does it? You haven't murdered anybody? No, I won't ask that. You haven't murdered anybody lately, I hope. But anyway, that's good. And then you can hear the breath suck in just as fast afterwards, after the next phrase that he says. But I say to you, anyone who's angry with somebody is guilty of murder. I want to ask you if you're there. Carelessly call somebody an idiot, and you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple fact is, words kill. Change things a little bit. Jesus kind of shake up your world a little. Because when you think about it, words do kill. They kill creativity. They can kill imagination. They can kill hope. They can kill dignity. They can kill, self-worth? Words can kill a lot of things. I know when I was a kid, there were times I got in a few scrapes, you know, and black eye here and bloody nose there. Fact is, the pain from those things went away pretty quickly. But there were words that were spoken. And it's been almost 50 years. And those words still hurt when I think about them. And then Jesus continues. He said, you know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you preserve your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust quicker than your body. Those leering looks that you think nobody notices, they also corrupt. If you want to be morally pure, here is what you have to do. Okay, you guys want to be morally pure? Okay, here's what you have to do. These are Jesus' words, not mine. Ready? You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. Now, if you followed that one, the only person that's going to be happy about that is the owner of the Pirate Patch Corporation. Because he'll be a billionaire just charging a buck a patch. He goes on. He talks about divorce. And basically, what he says is this. You don't toss somebody away when you get tired of them. There's a lot of reasons in there, but that's what he's talking about. And then he talks about oaths. You ever make a promise and have no intention of keeping it? I won't ask you, yeah. You say you're going to do something and then just kind of, maybe one of these days I'll get to it if I get around to it. He said, you know, what happens is people say a lot of things. But unless it's written down in 175 pages, checked by 17 lawyers and two attorneys, you guys aren't really following up on it. He said, simply say, yeah, I'm going to do it, or no, I'm not going to do it, and let that be enough. Kind of amazes me. I remember when I bought my first car. I think there was like one sheet of paper. I remember when I bought my first house. I think there were, 4 or 5 sheets. My kids bought a house, not recently. It's like 6 books, and they needed a car to drive it in. Because nobody wants to be responsible for anything or anything. Whatever happened to just yeah or no? So what's this all about? What Jesus is talking about is this. He's talking about the ethics of the kingdom, or the ethics of the world as God would have it be. And what does that look like? It looks basically like this. We're called to care about the people around us. Real simply. Not in order to earn brownie points. But because God cares for us and loves us just the way we are. He says the laws that are there, things like Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't gossip. Don't want things that don't belong to you. Worship God. Don't have any other gods before me. He says those things are all still there. He said, but you don't do them in order to earn God's favor, and you don't just keep it to the letter of the law. When it says don't kill, it's more than that. Don't commit adultery is more than that. Don't gossip is more than that. It's about caring for human beings and respecting human beings as people. They're not disposable to be used and then tossed away. They're not to be used to get what you want and then thrown away, or just discarded at the side of the road. He said, it's not just what you do that's important, but what's in your heart? Why do you do it? What's the motive behind it? That's kingdom life. That's the life that God wants us to have, where it's not about what? Nitpicking, loopholes. I always like it. Have you ever said, I know what I did is bad, but at least I haven't killed anybody? Jesus says there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. We know how we want God to look at us. And what we're called to do is to look at others with that same love and respect and forgiveness that we've received. That. Those are the ethics of the kingdom. Those are the ethics of God's world. And that's what you and I are called to practice. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.